Hey there, this is Kim De La Rosa, and you are listening to the Mindful Health Podcast, the place where we share science-backed research on how to balance mental health, wellness, and everyday living. And today we are going to talk about addiction, recovery, and my personal experience on both. This is probably going to be alarming for a lot of people who listen to this podcast. But if this is something that you are into, then stick around, because if you're ready, let's go. Hey there. Thanks so much for coming on and joining me on my podcast. Thank you for your time, your presence. And today, this is going to be a very vulnerable post, to say the least. I haven't recorded anything in almost like 2 months now, and it's only because I've been going through a lot of internal stuff lately, and just trying to process that, trying to come out the other end, not really so much unscathed, but just in one piece. And a lot of it is very deeply personal things that I've been experiencing, but one of them, which has been something that I've been struggling with for years and could be shocking for a lot of people who are listening to this, is just me and my path to recovery and explaining to you that, you know, I am an addict and I am in recovery process, which is so weird to say out loud, you know, like it's almost like those words when you say it, you're just kind of like, ugh. But, and I think it's only because you're admitting to yourself that, you know, you have a problem or you had a problem and you need help, you need assistance with this. And I wanted to, I guess, share this side of myself because something deep down tells me that not only is this going to, I guess, help other people who are probably in the same boat, you know, in the same process as I'm doing, but it's also keeping me accountable and putting me in check and making sure that my path to recovery is not really so much of the straight and narrow, but that my path is actually progressing and I don't really fall on the wayside. So it's almost like me creating this episode to keep myself accountable. And with that said, so I'm just going to share all the struggles that I've been going with for the past couple of months in regards to, you know, addiction and a whole bunch of other things. But my addiction, I guess, started, I got to say, when I was maybe like in my teens, when I was 13. I mean, for those people who actually are listening to this podcast and who are subscribers to my newsletter on Substacks, I definitely wrote about this. I've shared about this, but I definitely wanted to come here on the podcast again, just to kind of reiterate my whole steps of recovery. And if you're not on Substacks, definitely I have a newsletter on Substacks, plug. So it is called Mindful Living. If you are interested, definitely go there, subscribe. I share a bunch of personal stuff along the way. And I also share some things about wellness and trauma and grief and peace and how to deal with all of the balancing act in this world. But for this podcast, I definitely wanted to center around, I guess, my own story of addiction and recovery. So let's get started, I guess. For those of you who don't know, so I am a writer. I grew up in Queens, New York. I actually grew up around like between like the, like right in the middle of like Woodhaven and Boulevard, Queens and Jamaica, Queens. And growing up, neighborhood wasn't really that awesome. And I definitely experienced a lot of things with, you know, my inner family and with inner things. So it's safe to say that I was a product of my environment. And what ended up happening is at around 13, that's when I started smoking weed. And it was more or less for me trying to take control over my anxiety and depression, because I almost feel like I was one of those types of kids who was very sensitive to emotions, very sensitive to energies. A lot of people would say or categorize me as like an empath, you know, of the spiritual community would be like, oh, you're an empath. But I did struggle with anxiety and depression for years, and I've tried so many different things, from therapy to diets to reading books to just going to groups, just a whole bunch of things just to try to, I guess, rid myself of depression. And because I was so young, I really didn't, you know, kind of think that this is not possible to get rid of it, you know, but I was, again, I guess just desperate, you know, I was just desperate to try to be a perfect daughter, a perfect sister, just a perfect person in my family for people to go to. But I was just so emotionally just unaware. And it also didn't help that I grew up, you know, with a family, a Hispanic family that basically did not have time to deal with the emotions of themselves, let alone the emotions of their children, because they were just in survival mode, trying to just put food on the table, trying to just make sure that they have, you know, we have a roof over our head and stuff. And I think this theme is very, very common, you know, for people of color, for Hispanics and, you know, communities. Just it's just a trend, you know, that I've seen growing up. So because I really didn't feel like I had that emotional support, and I was trying to manage my, you know, sad feelings by myself, I, you know, unknowingly just turned to weed. It was, at the age of 13, I was dating a boy at the time who was a heavy, heavy smoker, and just one day decided to be like, hey, why don't you try this and it'll make you feel better. And once I did, it was ridiculously crazy, because once I did, it was almost like the anxiety and the depression and all the sadness just automatically faded away within seconds. And that's when I just was the first time that I felt like absolute relief. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, I can finally function, you know, as a person. Like, I can finally be this happy person that I've always wanted to be. I could finally be this person that isn't sad all the time, who that's not depressed all the time, that's not so sensitive or emotional or whatever, you know, all of those things that, again, growing up were categorized as bad things. But now that I'm older, I'm starting to realize that it's not the case. But as a teen, you know, trying to figure out the world on her own, it was really hard. So when I tried cannabis or weed for the first time, and I felt that automatic relief, that's when I realized, oh, okay, so this is the thing for me. And it just took off from there. So I just started using weed for like a few, you know, times, like a month. And then as I got older and I, you know, graduated high school and went to college, I was still smoking weed. It's just the quantity started to increase over time. And I was just self-medicating, you know, even like during college and working full-time jobs and going to family functions and doing all these things, like for me, for years, I was just self-medicating throughout the entire time. And I personally thought that I had mastered my life, you know, because I had this, I had weed the entire time. Like, I was just like, okay, if I ever feel like I'm going to get into that depressive state or that anxious state, that's when I'm just going to go, you know, take my, what I called medication at the time. I was like, this is my medicine. This is just going to make me feel good. And because it looked like I had everything figured out on the outside, you know, everybody kind of looked at me and was like, oh, well, you know, Kim is doing fine. You know, no one ever worried about me whatsoever because I hit it so well. But little did I know that I was kind of developing a bad habit, because the increase of it started, it was just getting worse. I was starting to smoke more. I was starting to smoke multiple times a week, and then it turned into multiple times a day. And I remember once I was diagnosed with childhood PTSD, I was given a medical cannabis card so that I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, going out there and with a dealer and just trying to buy cannabis illegally and stuff like that. Because now I had a cannabis card and I was like, okay, you know, now I could buy legalized weed and I don't have to, like, I'm a responsible adult now, you know, like, you know, I have a full-time job and And I have, you know, I have everything sorted out and my life looks great. I'm, you know, responsible. So again, it was just me just understanding like, oh, well, I have everything under control. Like I have this under control. I have everything under control. I can stop anytime I want. But as the years progressed, my gut, which I'm starting to understand now, is my intuition. My intuition and my gut were kind of like little by little trying to tell me that, okay, I don't think you can stop. Even though I would tell myself like, this is nothing. I could stop this at any time. Like this is just not a big thing. And it got to the point where I became a cannabis writer. I started writing about weed and the positive effects of it. And this is not, again, this post is not to demonize cannabis, because I know that there are people who actually need it and who that it was definitely a better source of medication than any pharmaceuticals, which that's something I personally believe. But in my personal experience, I noticed that while in the beginning I was using it for, I guess, medicinal purposes, it slowly started to become a necessity in order for me to function in my life, in order to be happy or to feel normal. Because during the days that I didn't smoke or I didn't have any cannabis, I would not be a happy person. Like I would just be a very agitated, grumpy, angry person. And I always thought myself, I said, you know what? It's just because I didn't have my medication type thing. And it's so naive and ridiculous now that I think about it, because it's more or less me understanding that I was just developing a habit and I was developing an addiction to this. And I did not want to, I guess, face it. Even though, again, I knew deep down that this was a problem. That once I knew that I couldn't sustain myself without it and I needed it to function, that was when I knew that I was like, okay, this is a problem. And I started to increase smoking more and more and more. And it was, so it got to a point where I think my intuition just kind of overpowered my mind. And I kind of just told myself that, all right, you do have a problem. This needs to be handled. This needs to be, you know, addressed. We can't run from it, which was a very difficult thing for me to admit, because as a lot of people know, I guess, especially in my inner circle in my life, that I'm usually the person that people go to for help. And I guess it's very common with a lot of people who are categorized as empaths or the emotional ones, would because people will go to me for just inspiration. People will go to me for just advice or a safe space to like cry on, or, you know, just people would just go to me. I am that person that people go to be like, okay, you know, I need help or I need to feel good about myself. Let me just call Kimberly. You know, Kimberly knows what to say. Kimberly knows what to do. You know, she's so happy. She has her life in order and everything's going to be fine. I just need to go to her. So I've always been that person. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I guess because I had been unknowingly dubbed that go-to cheerleader person for people, subconsciously, it's almost like I told myself that, oh, that means that I could never be unhappy because other people depend on me to be happy for them. So I can't feel any emotion. I can't be the person that's not, you know, that doesn't have it together, because all of my other friends do not have it together and they're coming to me. So I have to be the one that has to have it together. And whenever I would feel those days of just being sad or just not feeling 100%, I would automatically just go to weed. It was the first thing that I would just go to. It wouldn't even be like, hey, maybe I should drink some water or maybe I should exercise or take a walk or meditate or anything like that. Like none of those things were ever my first choice. My first choice was always go to weed, which I did. And I would always tell myself, all I just need is just, you know, one hit of weed and then I'll be good for the rest of the day and yada, 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 and so on and so forth. And again, once I started noticing that about myself, that's when I realized, I'm like, all right, enough is enough. Like, I have to get real with myself. And the reality was that I was developing a dependency and an addiction to it. And I didn't like that feeling. I didn't like the idea that I was depending on a drug in order to feel better. And for people who say that cannabis is not a drug or weed is not a drug, I'm sorry to tell you that it is. Because during that entire time of me being sober, I was going through ridiculously major withdrawals. And again, this was naive of me to think that I would not go through any type of withdrawals or that I was going to be completely okay with it. And when the reality was, I was not. Like, the first week of me being sober, of not smoking, it was the toughest week, I'm not gonna lie. It had to have been one of the toughest things and longest weeks of my life. That week felt like a month because I was experiencing so many different withdrawals. It got to the point where I couldn't sleep. I was super irritable. My hands were shaking. I had cold sweats at night. I was just like an emotional roller coaster, nonstop, crying. And it was only because I had used cannabis to just kind of shut out all of the sad feelings or all of the things that I thought, you know, I needed to, I guess, remove, when in reality, cannabis really didn't make those things go away. You know, like, drugs and alcohol and all of those, like, you know, things that are shoved in our face that helps us, or at least says that, you know, this is what's going to help you, you know, with whatever condition that you have. In my experience, it doesn't really help you. It kind of just help, not really, like, how do I describe it? It doesn't really help solve the issue. It just helps you get through the day. But even though you're getting through the day, you still have to solve the issue. And what I realized is that, you know, weed wasn't really helping me solve the issue. If anything, it was a Band-Aid. It was just like a buffer. It was trying to cover up a bigger and deeper problem that I had, which was my relationship to myself and my sadness and my depression and my anxiety and coming up with a better relationship with it. Because now it's come to the point where I have to also realize that being sad or being depressed or being anxious or all of those yucky feelings that people don't want to feel are actually the ones that we have to feel in order to become a stronger and better person. And growing up, I really did not have any role models of sobriety because, unfortunately, you know, come from a family of people who are addicted to a number of things, you know? I come up from a family of people who are addicted to having affairs, who are addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs. And again, it's not just for me trying to tear my family apart. It's more or less like, it's just the system and the environment that we grew up around, especially again, for people who are, you know, people of color, Hispanics, African-Americans, Native Americans, like a lot of, you know, marginalized, I guess, people or people who come from, you know, really rough neighborhoods, they do what they can to survive, you know, and it's really no surprise that when you go to really rough neighborhoods, you just see smoke shops and alcohol shops and smoke shops and alcohol, like, it's no surprise because in order to, I guess, live or survive in that environment, you just need to cope. And instead of developing better coping habits, you know, like meditation or exercise or fitness, you know, we get pulled into these other habits that are much quicker, you know, and faster, and able to just target whatever you are experiencing that you don't want to feel, just get those things so that you don't feel, in order to just keep going and survive. But what it really was, it was just, now that I'm starting to understand, because I've been sober now for a few weeks, it's starting to put the pieces together, and I'm starting to see that, you know, when I was smoking cannabis or when I was smoking weed, it wasn't really solving anything, you know, like it was in reality, it wasn't allowing me to face the pain that I needed to face in order to heal. It just, again, just kept it, I guess, away. It just put it away. It was just, you'll deal with it later type of thing. But the more I smoked and the more I ran away from my pain or sadness, the more the limit just increased, you know, the pain and sadness like just increased to the point where I needed to constantly smoke in order to not feel sad or mad or anything like that. And once I started to develop that awareness, I was like, okay, I have to let the floodgates open and begin the real healing and not the pretend healing of like, hey, I look like I'm okay only because I'm just self-medicating. When in reality, it's like, I'm not okay because I'm self-medicating and I've just been doing this for years. And I was just calculating how long cannabis has been in my life. And again, I started at 13, so which means that it's been over 20 years that I've had this relationship with this drug. And when I started, I guess, coming with the reality of understanding what it's going to be like to live sober, was very, very alarming. Because again, for me, I was like, I really don't have a lot of people who know how to do this. But it's also me accepting the fact that this is all a part of healing. And this is all a part of breaking what we now call generational trauma. Because again, this is a learned behavior. Like, we learn from our environment, we learn from the people around us, and whatever method or whatever people do, it kind of just, we inherit it. And again, like, I do come from families who, you know, drink a lot, who, you know, have cheated on their wives, who've done some pretty horrible things, because they too were a product of their environment and of their childhood. So part of me going sober now, part of me of saying goodbye to this drug that has, I'm not going to lie, has helped me, but now I'm starting to realize that it just got out of control. And it's now something that I need to kind of participate in breaking the mold and becoming something better, not just for myself, but for the future of my ancestral line, I guess, you know, the future of my children. You know, I want my children to see that I'm not just surviving, but I'm thriving. And in order to do that, I have to be honest with myself and I have to do the work of being sober and of admitting that, listen, I had a problem and I'm finally going to just take responsibility for it and move forward with it. And is this going to be, you know, easy? Absolutely not. Like, you know, the first, again, I just always think back to the first week of me doing this, and it was just so rough for me. But now that I'm in, you know, my 30s, I'm in my mid 30s, you know, I just recently had my birthday, so I'm 35. So, and I guess that whole revelation of me being like, all right, I'm 35. I'm not a little girl anymore. You know, I'm not just a, you know, random lost person out in the world trying to just prove to herself that she can do it all and that everything is fine. Like, I now see myself as just like an adult. And I know that sounds so weird because technically, you know, you are an adult when you're 21. But for me, and I never really felt like an adult until I was in my 30s, you know? And now that I am in my mid 30s, it's now me taking responsibility of myself, of my future, and of my health. Because that was another thing that I was also, you know, going back and forth with, is me being a wellness writer and researcher, when in the meantime, I was just like having a really, really unhealthy relationship with this drug. So I was, in a way, I almost felt like hypocritical. And I guess that's another reason why I wanted to create this episode, is because I wanted to at least prove to not just to myself, but to everybody else, that, You know, no one is perfect. Everybody has their own inner battles that they're going through. Everybody has their own things that they have to uncover about themselves. Everybody has their own healing that they need to do, which is one of the things why I think social media is like another culprit of this. It's like, you know, people think you go on social media and everybody looks like they have their shit together, you know, everybody looks like they have everything figured out and everything is fine, but we have no idea what an actual person is going through. And I remember when I expressed my addiction and my steps to sobriety with a few of my friends, like even some of them were just kind of like, we had no idea because you hit it so well, you know. And again, that's the most insidious part about addiction, especially if you're a functioning addict. You know, you look like you have everything under control when in reality, it's like behind closed doors, you're, you know, falling apart. But this is, I guess, me finally taking that one step into just responsibility for myself, for my health, and for my future, no matter how scary it's going to be, and no matter how many people I'm going to lose along the way, because I know that once I'm sober, and I'm just going to be a completely different person to some people, that they're just going to think that I'm not fun anymore, or they're probably not going to want to hang out with me. And it's, you know, one of those things that I have to not only just accept, but also understand that it's all part of the healing process and part of just sobriety. And I think I wanted to, again, just make this episode to kind of share with all of you who are listening that it's really never too late to take control of your life and your health and what you want to do. It really comes down to you at the end of the day. Like, it comes down to you just looking yourself in the mirror, being completely honest with yourself, and knowing that you're not a bad person and that you are in the process of just becoming and evolving into something better. But it's only going to happen if you take that initial step. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with addiction, because, you know, some of you are probably never had to deal with addiction, and thank God, you know, but it could be, you know, just developing something new in your life, like starting a new career or starting a new fitness program, starting a new diet, starting a new relationship, or just anything like that. It all boils down to you looking at yourself, admitting to yourself the truth, you know, whether it's good or bad. And once you've accepted, I guess, this truth that you have within you, it's also understanding, okay, what else is next? What can I do from here on out that's going to make things better for not just for myself, but just for future me, you know? And that can only happen if we actually have the courage and the capacity to do that. So if you made it this far, thank you very much for, again, giving me your time and your presence. I hope that this episode helped in some way, because that's honestly one of the main reasons why I write. It's one of the main reasons why I create content. It's just to not only share my experience when it comes to my health and my wellness, but to inspire other people and let everybody else feel, see, and know that if I'm able to, you know, climb through internal mountains and do whatever I can just to be a healthier version of myself, then so can you. And that's the whole purpose of this. So if you did like this episode, if you do like this podcast, please subscribe, hit some beautiful, wonderful stars, some likes, you know, our way. If you definitely want to listen to some more health and wellness stuff, you can go on my website, KimberlyDelaRosa.com, or you could just subscribe to my newsletter, which I am on Substacks, and just follow me through all social media, which is at the same user handle at Kim Delaro. And here's to being sober. Finally. I'm so happy to have you guys here. And thank you so much for being here. And I hope you have an amazing, awesome day. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.